Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The Brian Lehrer Show is not live today, so we won't be taking any calls. But we thought we'd take this opportunity to bring you some of our favorite recent segments. So enjoy, and remember that our comments page is always open. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and joining me now is Brooke Berman, author of the new book, No Place Like Home. She chronicles her journey through 39, yes, 39 apartments in New York, and the book comes out at a convenient time for us because we have launched, as part of our census series, a project called Map Your Moves. We have asked listeners to tell us where you moved from, where you've moved to, and why over the past 10 years. Over 1,200 people filled out the survey on our website, and now we're passing along that data to any of you who think you are a data visualization artist. We're inviting you to see this data. We have the data set available on our site, and try to produce a beautiful map or other data visualization of where our listeners have moved from and to and why since 2000. If you want to try your hand at this, go to WNYC.org. Just click on Brian Lehrer Show and you'll see all the instructions and you can download the data set. And for the rest of you, we'll reveal what comes out of that project visually at the end of August. So stay tuned for that. But first, Brooke Berman, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
What's the time frame here? 39 apartments from when to when?
20 years. I start as a Barnard freshman in 1988, and the book ends roughly 2008.
So like many before you, you moved to New York to try to make a life in the arts. Did you have your first apartment lined up before you came?
Oh, no. I came to go to Barnard College. I came as a Barnard College freshman. And, you know, I talk about how in the book my mom was wonderful in many, many ways, but also sort of out of touch with financial reality and somewhat of a compulsive debtor.
And where was so that? Where did you grow up? Where was that?
First in Detroit and then in Chicago. We lived in Detroit till I was 10. Then she remarried and we moved to the Chicago suburbs when I was almost 11, okay. A month shy of my 11th birthday. And, you know, so my mom had sort of brought me up to do that I could do whatever I wanted to do in the world. But she was someone who had a hard time leaving home. And so when I got to New York and I got to Barnard College, I really just had no idea what it cost to live in New York or anywhere for that matter. You know, my mom had sort of waited till I got to college to announce that, oh, yeah, by the way, we have no money. And the money from your dad's life insurance is about to run out. So, you know, there you go. And, you know, there were really, really great things about Barnard and some amazing professors. But I think I knew from a very early age that I wanted to work in the theater. And I kind of had this, like, I don't know if you can say this on the radio, but like this match lit under my ass. Like I just wasn't prepared to sit in class and sort of deconstruct Faulkner. Like I really wanted to be making theater. So my sophomore year in school, so that was like two different dorms at Barnard. And then my sophomore year in school, I sort of took a tour of my options as an aspiring actress. I went and auditioned for Juilliard, and I went down to NYU. I had a very wonderful conversation with the then sort of punk rock Rainn Wilson, you know, who was in the NYU grad program. And I talked to these friends of mine who were at Brown, and I sort of like tried to figure out what I was going to do next. So I ended up dropping out of school and running off to study with Ann Bogart, who's an experimental theater director who was living in Providence, Rhode Island at that time and running Trinity Rep. So I moved to Providence for a year. And at the end of that year, when Ann's time at the theater ended and all of my friends moved back to New York, I decided not to go back to college, but instead to sort of stay in this professional theater community. And
all right,
at that
so,
point,
yes.
I got an apartment in the Village Voice.
Right, and there your 39 apartments begin. Your first apartment at 340 East 9th Street. Was it that one, and you rented it sight unseen?
I rented an apartment on 12th Street, sight unseen, and when I got there, I realized that the guy whose apartment it was charging me more money than he was paying, and the room was really tiny, and the guy was really creepy, and I was, like, barely 21, and I just said, this isn't going to happen. So I didn't actually move in, and I went and stayed with some friends at Barnard, and I was temping at PS 122 down in the East Village when I had the very good fortune of meeting Janie Geiser, who is a performance artist and puppeteer who lived lived at 340 East 9th Street, and she said, well, I'm about to go to a residency in San Francisco. Come live in my apartment.
So
and
part
that was
of,
my house sit. Yeah, go ahead.
Part of your book is a survival guide to finding your first apartment, and you say one big thing is to find a neighborhood that feels like you. And you admit that for you, you have a soft spot for trendy neighborhoods where you can eat pretentious hipster vegetarian meals, as you put it. So how do you like Williamsburg? No, I'm just kidding. Cheap shot.
Well, I used to love Williamsburg. I lived there. I lived right across from the Brooklyn Brewery in 1997 and loved it. And I lived in Greenpoint in 97, also when I was in graduate school, 98, 99, and loved that too. It's a little crowded for me these days. I mean, I'm actually in Los Angeles right now, temporarily, because I couldn't afford Williamsburg.
There you go. And so,
but I love the East Village. I mean, the East Village still feels like home to me when I'm in New York City.
Why the East Village? What, you know, because
I think it was my first neighborhood. I like the combination of the history of the artists who've been there and sort of the old Ukrainian people. And I like the Selkas for the poppy seed cake. And I like, you know, St. Mark's Church. And there's something about the walk-ups and the streets and Tompkins Square. I just feel really good there.
You really articulated that well. And you say in the book that people should know three things that you won't compromise on. And though for you, those were neighborhood, and you just said why, natural light, and a bathtub. And I guess a bathtub is not a given.
No, I had an apartment on Thompson Street in my early 20s that did not have a bathtub. And I had a friend who lived across town on First and First. And I would go pick up her keys during her waitressing shifts and go to her apartment to take baths. And then bring the keys back before she had to leave the restaurant and go about my day. I usually went to my waitressing shifts, but Stafford just doesn't do it.
There's a New York story. So in our Map Your Moves project, we have a list, a drop-down menu that people can choose from of the reasons that they may have moved, or they can write in another reason. So let me check you out on this. Our list includes growing family size, can afford a better place, can't afford what I used to, eviction or foreclosure, rent getting too high, move to be closer to work or school, wanted to come to the New York area, roommate or relationship issues, landlord issues, and bed bugs or other critters.
Yep.
So which
I've
of those...
all of the above.
You've had all of the above? Which of those caused you to move more than any other?
Well, probably roommate things, because it was rarely my apartment. Most of the time, it was somebody else's apartment, and I was renting a room. So if the roommate, for instance, decided to give the place up, I had a roommate who came home from NYU one day and said, you know, I just realized I'm rich, and I don't really have to live like this. So anyway, I'm giving the apartment up. So then I had to move. Or I had one roommate I didn't get along with, or I had a sublet that was temporary. So that was a big one. My last apartment on Mott Street, which was my favorite place, I loved that apartment, they raised the rent in 2007, and I couldn't afford to stay. So that was financial. Currently, I'm actually moving this week because of family size. We're expecting a baby in December. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. So for the first time, I need a place that I can, you know, put a child.
We all move around as young adults, but 39 times. Were you a little, shall we say, restless?
I mean, now we're at 41. Was I restless? No, I mean, you know, I was trying to make a career as an artist, and an artist in the theater really doesn't make that much money. So it was less a question of restlessness and more a question of stubbornness about my creative goals. Like, I just wasn't going to quit. So if that meant juggling four jobs and having to live in somebody else's apartment for 6 months while I saved up enough money to get my own place, that's what that meant. Do you know what I mean? It was never really about the real estate. It was really about the larger search that was on the table.
Yeah.
And
on the rent, which people would think is straightforward, you write that knowing how much rent you can afford is actually complicated in New York.
It's complicated in the fact that you'll probably pay more in New York than you will anywhere else. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you shouldn't take a place. I mean, My fiance and I are really different about this. He has a really strict bottom line. It's this percentage of his income, and that's what we pay, and that's that. And subsequently, he lived in a rent-controlled one-bedroom in a part of Queens called Dutch Kills. It's in between Long Island City and Astoria for 3 years. In an apartment that once we realized we were going to be together, I kind of said, yeah, I can't live in this apartment. But he was perfectly happy because the apartment was $900 and it enabled him to be a writer and he didn't have to worry about rent. For me, when I moved to Mott Street, it was definitely a stretch. I mean, the first year I moved in, the rent was $1,325 and I had never paid more than $800. So that was terrifying. But I also have this belief that sometimes where you live in New York City, I think, is so incredibly important because you spend so much time sort of living in public and so much of your life in outside, on the street, in the subway, in restaurants, in public places, at your job, getting to and from your job, that I just think that home needs to be a real sanctuary.
Right.
So for me,
we get
stretching
it
a little bit.
Brooke Berman, author of No Place Like Home, a memoir in 39 apartments. Just promise me one thing. You'll go to our website and fill in your story for our Map Your Moves project. I think we have enough server space to accommodate all your stories, I think.
What a great project. It's a great project.
All right. No Place Like Home, a memoir in 39 apartments. Brooke Berman, thanks a lot.
Thank you.